So we saw in the last video why if you represent scheduling constraints among courses by a digraph, that it's critical that that digraph in fact be a DAG. And let's now look at this scheduling issue represented by DAGs in more detail. So here's a chart of a selection of Course 6 prerequisites, some of them obsolete, but they serve the purposes of being an illustrative example. And the little arrows here are indicating arrows in the digraph. So what this tells me is that 1801 is listed as an immediate prerequisite in the catalog for 6042. 1801 is also an immediate prerequisite of 1802. 6001 is and 6004 are both prerequisites of 6033. And 6042 of 6046 and 6046 of 6840. So we're seeing here this indirect prerequisite issue that I mentioned before, which is that even though the only thing listed as a prerequisite for 6840 in the catalog is 6046, as a matter of fact, in order to take 6046, you have to have taken 6042. So 6042 is an indirect prerequisite of 6840. So in terms of graph language and path language, a subject U is an indirect prerequisite of V when there's a positive length path from U to V in the digraph that describes the prerequisite structure among the classes. It simply means, using our notation, for R plus is the positive length path relation of a digraph R, a binary relation R. It simply means U R plus V, which is read as there is a positive length path from U to V. Now, a key idea that we're going to be examining in learning how to do scheduling is the idea of a minimal subject. So the definition of a minimal subject is a subject that has no prerequisites, no arrows in a freshman subject. So nothing comes in. There are three examples of subjects with no prerequisites in the chart, in the preceding chart, namely 1801, 802, and 6001. Let me say a word about where this funny terminology minimal comes from. It's because another way to talk about DAGs is in terms of things that are like order relations called partial orders, which we'll be looking at shortly. So you think of the later subjects as being bigger than the earlier subjects. So a minimal subject is one where there's nothing less than it. Now, there might be several minimal subjects because it might be that neither one of them is less than the other, but there's nothing less than 1801. There's no other subject that you have to take before 1801. So that's the definition of minimal, nothing smaller. Now, you could ask what's a minimum, which you maybe are more familiar with. A minimum means that not only is there nothing before it, but it comes before everything else. It would be the earliest of all possible subjects in the indirect prerequisite chain. There isn't any in this example, but there actually used to be one at MIT. For a while, we experimented with giving an orientation week summer assignment, that is an assignment over the summer for newly admitted students, in order for them to take a subject during orientation week in which they discussed some book that they had all been assigned to read beforehand. It seemed like a great idea to kind of pull the freshman community together, but it turned out to be unsustainable because they couldn't find enough faculty and others willing to conduct these seminars. So MIT stopped having a minimum subject. So let's look at the prerequisites again and discuss how to do a scheduling. And the first thing we're going to do in the schedule is, as I say, identify the minimal elements. There are the three of them that we mentioned. And we're going to start by deciding that we'll take those three in the first term. So we're going to be operating with basically what's called a greedy strategy. We're going to take as many things as we possibly can take at any term given the constraints. So we can take all the freshman subjects in our first term because they have no prerequisites. Well, the next step then is just get rid of them because they're scheduled already. So we can get rid of all those occurrences of 1801, 802, and 6001. Not only, there are other occurrences as well here where 1801 is a prerequisite for things. So they're all gone and we get a simplified diagram where we've removed the minimal elements. Now in the new diagram, there are now things that didn't used to be minimal before but are minimal now. These are the new minimal elements, and we can identify those. Here are five subjects, four here and one there, that now have no more prerequisites. These are kind of the second level minimal elements, and we're going to schedule them next. So those are all the subjects that we can possibly take after we've taken the first set of minimal subjects, the second level minimals, and we'll schedule them in the next term. This is our five subject second term schedule. Likewise, well, you delete these guys, and then you discover that 6046 and 6004 are the resulting minimal ones, which is now possible to take because all their prerequisites have been satisfied. So we schedule them in the third term, 6840 and 6033 by the same reasoning in the fourth term, and 6857 in the fifth term. There is our complete term schedule obtained in this particular way. There's, of course, many other ways to schedule it, but this is a particular orderly way where the strategy, again, is greedy. You take as many things as you possibly can take in a given term. Now, there's some concepts that come up when you're talking about schedules that that are worth introducing. So one of them is an antichain. An antichain is in this particular example means a set of subjects where there are no indirect prerequisites among them. They can be taken in any order, because it doesn't matter whether you've taken one or not when you're thinking about taking the others. Technical language, again, motivated by the idea of thinking of there being a path as though it was less than or equal to something, these are elements that are incomparable. Neither one is less than or equal to another. So in terms of the path relation, U is incomparable to V if and only if there's no path from U to V of positive length, and there's no positive length path from V to U. So let's look at some antichains. And the part of the point of defining it is we have chosen antichains as our schedule for each term. So the freshman subjects with no prerequisites, clearly there's no path among them because there's no path to them at all. So they are an antichain. The next level we chose were the second level minimal elements, which only had as prerequisites the original minimal elements, and so certainly none of them was a prerequisite of the others. So that's another example of an antichain. And of course, the third level and the fourth level and the fifth level are antichains, but not all antichains are there in our schedule. So for example, here is a diagonal lying antichain. 6840, 6004, and 6034 have no paths between them. So in fact, it's possible to take them simultaneously because you could have taken all their prerequisites in the upper left here and then take the three of them. So that's what an antichain means here. So the technical definition is no path between any two of them, but in terms of the scheduling of courses, it means it's possible to take them in the same term if you've satisfied all their prerequisites, which it is possible to do. So let's ask about the various patterns of scheduling that are possible. We've discovered this particular greedy one where we take as many things as we can each term. But suppose that I was constrained to only take one subject per term. I have an outside job. I'm too busy to take more than one class a term. And if MIT will let me dawdle so long, that's what I'd like to do. So can I do this? Yeah, well, sure. Just schedule all the minimal elements first in any order, 1, 2, 3, and then schedule the 5 second level minimal elements next, and the third level and so on. And it's perfectly possible then to modify the schedule that we found into a schedule in which you only take one subject per term, and of course you only take a subject after you've taken all of its indirect and direct prerequisites. This is called a topological sort. The sorting word comes from the motivation of thinking of there being a path as like a less than or equal to relation. So we're sorting things in order of increasing size. 1801 would be, in this case, a smallest element, and 6857 a biggest in this list of elements. A chain is kind of technically, literally, a thing called the dual of an antichain. A chain is a sequence of subjects that must be taken in order. That is, these are subjects where for any two of them, you know which one has to come first. That is, for between any two of them, there is a path in one way or the other. Now, of course, it's a DAG, so there can't be paths in both directions. So a chain is simply a set of comparable elements, which implies that there's an order in which they have to be taken. So here are some chains. This one was shown pictorially as a vertical chain with five courses in it. Here's a vertical chain of four, and not all of them are vertical. Here's a chain where you have to take 1801 before you take 1803, before you take 6004. So they form a chain. It's important to realize that this is a chain with five subjects in it, but a chain doesn't have to have every possible element that could be in it. It's still a chain, even if it's only got these three subjects, because there's a path from 802 to 6004 and a path from 6004 to 6857. But maximum length chains that are as full as possible, are important theoretically. And so this in particular is a maximal length chain. The longest chain here is of length 5. Now, it's not the only one. There's another chain of length 5 here if you look for it. But no chain is of length longer than 5, and there is one of length 5. And that leads us to the question of how many terms is it necessarily going to take to graduate? Well, we saw that you can graduate in 5, but given that there's a maximum chain of length 5, it means that you can't do it in fewer, because those 5 courses have to be taken in consecutively. The third has to be taken in a term after the first two have been taken. The second has to be taken after the first. If you have a chain of any size, actually, the number of terms to graduate has to be at least as big as that chain, which means it has to be at least as many terms as a maximum size chain. So 5 terms are necessary, and we saw, using our minimal strategy of being greedy, that you can always do it in maximum chain length. So 5 are also sufficient. This is providing that you can take an unlimited number of subjects per term. Remember, our strategy to graduate in 5 terms was to take as many subjects as we possibly could each term. So there's the sufficient way to take subjects to graduate in 5 terms. And of course, one consequence is that in my second term, freshman year, I was taking 5 subjects because it was possible, but that leaves me with a kind of heavily loaded term compared to here's a term with 2 subjects and there's a term with only 1 subject in the at the very end. So it's possible, in fact, to somewhat adjust the term load. Let's just shift taking 1802 to the third term. It's perfectly feasible to do that, because I will have satisfied all the prerequisites of 1802 after the first term, but I don't have to take it in the second term. Let's shift it off. So now I've lightened the load in the second term to 4 subjects, somewhat increasing the load. I had to do it somewhere in the third term to 3 subjects. So now I have to take no more than 4 subjects a term. And as a matter of fact, if you fiddle, you can actually find a graduating schedule in which you can only take 3 subjects per term. And we will examine what's the minimum number of subjects per term in the next segment.